This episode is sponsored by Corelation, where credit unions can get more in the core, as well as Allegiant, all-out innovation for credit unions. On the show today, we have Hoffheimer strategy advisor, his very own George Hoffheimer, talking about his cross-country bike ride, talking credit unions, and his new endeavor, Hoffheimer strategy advisors, what that's all about and where he's going to take it. So enjoy our conversation. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, oh my gosh, look who we have here. Mr. Cross-country bicyclist extraordinaire, George Hoffheimer. George, how are you, sir?
Good, Mike. Good to see you. Last time I saw you, you were giving me a Twinkie on the Pacific Ocean in San Diego. So
that's it's good right. to see you. Yeah. And I'm sure those Twinkies helped you get across the country. If you didn't have those, you might not have made it.
It's the breakfast of champions.
That's right. Every day. All right. So we're talking bike rides, we're talking credit unions, and we're talking future endeavors with you today. But before we get into the bike ride and your organization, Hoffheimer Strategy Advisors, we'll be talking about that in a little bit. I want to know about, because you did this bike ride, obviously. Everybody knows about the cross-country bike ride that you took this past spring. And but the reason why you did it, not only just to see the country, obviously, but you did it to raise funds to help people get out of medical debt. I think the company is called RIP Medical Debt. Correct there?
Yeah.
How much money did you raise, and how did it help people in this area?
Well, thanks to hundreds of people like you, Mike, raised a total of a little over $40,000.
Wow.
Through RIP Medical Debt. And then what RIP does is that they take that and then they go out to the debt markets and purchase pools of debt that represent medical debt from individual consumers. For pennies on the dollar, buy that debt back and basically extinguish the debt for people that are really struggling with that. And mm-hmm. The reason I wanted to raise the awareness and some funds around that was because it's the number one cause of consumer bankruptcy in the United States. Something like $1 trillion worth of medical debt is outstanding, and it really prohibits people from just living their best lives. And then also, you know, there's a direct credit union connection there with, hey, if you've got this debt that it's really hard to discharge, that means less savings, that means less car loans, that means less mortgages, everything that kind of keeps the industry going. So that was the whole purpose of that fundraiser.
And you knocked it out of the park, so to speak, on that one, man. Because I think your goal was like half of the 40,000, right? And then I totally
sandbagged. I think I initially said to RIP, I'm like, I think I can raise 5,000. They're like, we don't do anything less than 15. And then within a week, hit 15, and then it just kept going and going. So thanks to everyone who donated, friends, family. Colleagues, people that I don't even know. So it was great.
Yeah, that's a huge effort indeed. All right, let's get to the bike ride. I just want to, because you were so awesome about just giving folks updates along the way. It was really kind of fun to live vicariously through you for a couple of months riding across all different landscapes. Oh my gosh, you saw it all, George. So can you just briefly, I mean, because we could talk about this for hours on end, but just briefly, a couple of highlights, maybe a couple of lowlights, you know, what got you across the country? What was the motivation? All that type of stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, I fully intended to do it solo. When I left you in San Diego, you saw me off. I didn't know if I told you this, but as soon as you saw me off, there was construction on the route. And in the first mile, I detoured the wrong way. And 6 miles later, I ended up at the exact same spot. So it was an inauspicious start. But then after that, you know, I biked solo to a little bit past Phoenix, and then met up with other people that were doing the ride just independently and had met up as well. And eventually we became eight of us, ranging in age from 20 to 60, that biked across the U.S. together. And some of them continued on from Florida, where we ended. Some of them continued all the way up to Portland, Maine, where one of the guys was from.
Oh my!
That was definitely the highlight of the trip, just meeting people like that from a variety of backgrounds, just diverse opinions, expertise, all of that kind of stuff. It was really cool to meet people. You know, some of the lowlights, there weren't very many, just because, you know, you don't expect much.
Right, right.
Like, your job is to get on a bike and bike all day, and it's kind of
pretty simple.
Yeah, there was a day where there was some really bad winds in New Mexico and some snow at higher elevations, and it was just pretty brutal. I was lucky during that part of the trip that my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were taking turns biking with me and then following along in their Sprinter van. Mm-hmm. So they had hot coffee waiting for me
at
the point where we crossed the Continental Divide, which was a lifesaver. And then another really cool part of the trip was my dad came and joined me. He flew I flew out to Austin, and he biked with me for 300 miles
to
the border of Louisiana. And he's 78 years old. And,
oh my gosh, good for him.
Still kicking it. So it was really fun to have him. He was asleep by 6 p.m. every night.
That would be me too, for sure. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. I mean, the experiences, I mean, that's just... I don't want to say maybe it's life-changing, but these are things that are going to stay with you for the rest of your life. And I'm sure that, were there any surprises along the way? Because, I mean, your bike looks like it held up really, really well. You look like you held up really, really well. So
yeah, physically, there's some days that it was pretty hard, but physically, quite honestly, it's like you're just pedaling. You've got a heavy bike, you've got your tent, all your gear, all your food, all your water. So it's just heavy. So you're not going fast. So you have all day to get 70, 80 miles. So physically, that wasn't too bad. Mentally, it's just kind of challenging. I vividly remember when I met up with these guys that we eventually biked with. We were somewhere in West Texas. And by the way, Texas is a big state.
It's a big state. Even driving across, it's a big state.
He had a computer on his bike. He's like, "Hey guys, we're about to cross 1,000 miles from the time we left San Diego." And, as soon as we passed 1,000 miles, he had an air horn. He just beeped it and we're out in the middle of nowhere with nothing to do. And then we're like, "Yes, that's an awesome accomplishment." And we keep pedaling. And then about 2 minutes later, I'm like, "You realize we have 2,000 miles to go." And, you know, that kind of like weighs on you psychologically.
Oh, yeah.
For all of us, it was kind of our first time doing such a big ride. No big surprises along the way, you know, small mechanical issues, but those were dealt with.
Knowing you, I mean, you are a super prepared guy. You kind of plan probably for all sorts of scenarios and stuff. So I'm sure you were well prepared. So, and that kind of leads me to my next question. Any lessons learned on this ride that can even kind of transfer into credit union life or into your business? So any lessons learned along the way besides perseverance?
yeah, perseverance. Well, one of the really stupid lessons learned, and this is like when you've got nothing going on all day except pedaling, is once you see a Dollar General store, you know you're at the edge of a town. So that was an observation. I don't know how useful that is, but like in a more deep sense, hooking up with these seven other people who I had nothing in common with, I think really helped improve the quality of the trip and just like the variety of everything. And I think that leads into a discussion that a lot of credit unions are having around diversity and equity and inclusion. Mm-hmm. And we all came from different backgrounds and different skill sets as it relates to biking and all of that. Somewhere in their early 20s, and there was a guy in his 60s, and the guy in the 60s turned out to be the best biker. So I think the diversity of thought and experience has really helped things along. You know, there were some times where we got pissed off at each other, quite honestly, but it helped because these were different viewpoints going forward.
And then I think
another big lesson that I learned is, and I think it's sort of related to this, is the people that you meet along the way. That's part of the country I've not really traveled in at all or spent much time in. And, the people that you get to meet really open your eyes to having an empathetic understanding of how other people live and people's viewpoints and that such. And I think that's really important, especially in the time and the place that we live right now, is just valuing and seeking out other people's viewpoints.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. All right. The next question, it's a biggie, George, but are you going to do something like this again? Cause I know you're kind of you're kind of an adventurer. You're kind of a traveler, a trekker, so to speak. So something like this on the horizon again?
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely want to do another big trip like this. I'd like to do the northern part of the country next, where you start in like Washington and you end up in Portland, Maine. So that's definitely something that I'm trying to figure out how to plan for. But yeah, it was not like at the end of every day, I was like, oh, I just can't wait to get off my bike. It was like, we just keep going. That was like the sentiment with the other guys that continued up the coast all the way to Maine was, you know, for them, they all had jobs where it was just like, you know, food and beverage industry, right. Service industry, right. Stuff wasn't happening. So it's just like, yeah, let's just keep going. So it's a great way to see the country, and I definitely want to do it again.
All righty. Well, on that, I want to segue into the business world and your firm, Hofheimer Strategy Advisors. Because I mean, you left Filene a short time ago, but it seems like a decade ago now. You know, so you left Filene, you started. Well, actually, you went to the bike. You did the bike ride, and then Hofheimer Strategy Advisors came about. So, what was the transition? What was what prompted this? And then, where do you go from here?
Yeah, well, you know, I had a great experience and career at Filene, and you know. Some of the reasons I left was there's just so many great people at Filene, and I felt like I was kind of blocking people from progressing and growing within that organization. And they've made some great hires, and you know, the people that are still there are just doing amazing, amazing work. So I felt like I had given all I had to give at Filene, and was still very interested in credit union. So was thinking about how might I you know, continue to be of service to the credit union industry. And a bit by chance during my time at Filene, got asked on a number of occasions to kind of work with CEOs and boards of directors and management teams on strategic issues. And I found that to be interesting. It was never really a core part of my job, but it became a big part of the job, because as a membership organization, when someone calls and says, you know, hey, we give all this money to your organization. Do you mind coming out this weekend and helping us with strategic planning discussions? It's hard to say no. So myself and a lot of other people at Filene continue to do that work. And I really enjoyed it. And I thought, well, could I continue to do that? Do people find value in it? And then I could do that, but then not have like a day job on the side, you know, running the research and development side of Filene. So that was the idea, was just to be able to provide guidance and outside expertise to credit unions or other organizations within the credit union space. And around April, when I was somewhere in Mississippi or Louisiana, I started getting calls. I didn't tell anybody what I was really doing. And people started calling, and you know, right now things are going really, really well. I have about 20 something clients that I'm working with, so I'm finding myself in kind of the same boat as I was at Filene, where I'm kind of working a lot, but it's good. And the whole idea is just to be basically like, this is the notion that I had was I want to work, number one, with really ambitious organizations that want to change the world. And, you know, sometimes having an outside or third party perspective to either help facilitate a difficult discussion or provide insights on something that they know that they have an idea that they want to implement or a strategy that they want to pursue. And sometimes it's just helpful to have someone from outside the four walls of their organization to help drive those ideas forward. So that was the whole idea behind it. And so far, things are going great.
Yeah, because I was on your website last night looking at the clientele and went, oh my gosh, those are some, like you said, very progressive, very forward-thinking organizations you got there. So congrats on that already. I mean, this is just the beginning, George. My gosh.
Yeah. It's been fun. I'm in the world headquarters right now, which is my youngest son's bedroom. So yeah, things are going great.
whatever it takes. I've been there.
Low overhead. Yeah.
Still there. So any particular project, can you give us like an example of like what you would, I mean, you don't have to give us, you know, details, but like give us a project that you're working on right now that, that would make a big impact.
Yeah. So, and you know, most of the credit unions that I'm working with, actually all of them are extremely successful. And the theme that I've noticed is that those types of organizations want to make a change before our change is necessary. So there's one particular organization that I'm working with that has a desire to become more of a values-based organization rather than you know, product focus or operational efficiency. So initially was tasked by them to kind of go out and understand what values-based banking means from across the world. You know, does it mean environmental sustainability? Does it mean targeting certain populations? Does it mean coming up with products and services in a different and more socially responsible manner? And then taking those insights and trying to kind of put them into practice through planning with their senior management team and their board of directors, such that, you know, at the end of the project, they'll have an approach that is radically different than their competition, not just in the local market, but I think on a national basis. So that's kind of an example where it kind of starts with, hey, research this. We think we have insights about this idea making sense for our organization. Take those insights, present them, and then you just kind of have conversations about how feasible is this, how desirable is it, yeah. How viable is it.
Yeah, I love this type of stuff because it's almost like every little bit helps, you know, no matter what, keeping those credit unions moving forward. And with your expertise and your experience, I mean, that's, you know, perfect recipe. And you're taking like a section that you really enjoyed from Feline that you did there, and now you're focusing on it. And that's, to me, and that's just my opinion, but that's a key to success when you can just focus on one thing that you really enjoy, that you love, and you have a passion doing, man, you're off to the races for that. And it sounds like that's what you're doing here for credit unions. I'm sure they appreciate it too.
Yeah, no, it's been great feedback, and it's good to see friends that I haven't seen, I think for a lot of us, haven't seen in a couple of years.
Yeah.
And then one project that I've just started is actually with my old employer, with Feline.
So I'm really?
A project for them on the impact and influence of climate change on the credit union and
consumer
industry. So, yeah, kind of a forward-looking topic, but a very important item.
No doubt. Well, you piqued my interest on that one, sir. So I look forward to hearing more about that in the next few months. So good stuff. All right. I know you got a lot to, you have a gazillion clients already, so I'm not going to keep you too much longer, George, but where can folks go to find you? Because I know you have a really cool URL. So where can folks go find out more about Hofheimer Strategy Advisors?
Yeah. So my cousins are very upset that I bought the domain name Hofheimer.org. So
I love it.
You can just go there and check it out. It's pretty basic, and you can see my my very limited coding skills.
Hey, it works. I like it. It gets straight to the point, and everything's there right in front of you. So good stuff.
Can I do one shout out though?
Oh, completely. Yeah.
It's connected to the first thing we were talking about, and the last thing we were talking about is during the trip. I don't know if people on the call know Taylor Murray. He's a former I3er. He's also a former executive at credit unions in Florida, Illinois, and Minnesota. And now he's the president and CEO of ServiceStar, which is a sales and service training organization for credit unions. And he lives in Gainesville, Florida. And at the beginning of the trip, where he thought I was doing it solo, he's like, hey, I noticed that you're coming through Gainesville. Really appreciate you just kind of giving me a heads up, and we'd love to host you for the night.
Oh, wow.
So that was great. And then about a week out from Gainesville, as he was following me on social media, and he's like, hey, you know, just wanted to say, hey, the invitation is up, that you can kind of still stay with us. I'm like, that's great, but it's kind of a little bit more complicated. It's now eight of us rather than one of us. So to Taylor's credit, he was like, let me check with my wife first. And then he went on a big old Costco run, and he was the greatest host in the world. So big thanks to Taylor, and everyone had a great time at his house, and got to meet his kids and eat lots of Pop-Tarts, hamburgers, and drink lots of beer. So
right on. Good shout out to Taylor. Oh, that's awesome. That's what it's all about right there. So really cool stuff. Yeah. I'm so glad that trip turned out to be such a huge success. And it's something that you're never going to forget. And just a small little aside, I mean, I've been bike riding a lot lately. And so every time I hit like a hill or something like that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I think about, well, George, gosh, he rode across the country. I can make it up this puny little hill. Come on. So I want to say that you've been an inspiration for me, Mr. Hofheimer. So thank you.
Yeah, it's not about speed. It's about determination and just continuing on. So yeah, that's great.
Well, congratulations, sir, not only on the bike ride, but the business as well. We look forward to more big things from you, and look forward to the next chat, and one of these days in person as well. So I'm looking forward to that too.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, thanks for your time. It was good talking to you, Mike.
Anytime, sir. This episode is sponsored by Correlation, where credit unions can get more in the core, as well as Allegiant, all-out innovation for credit unions.